Hey, what's up? You might have noticed that this is not an episode of Past Gas. It's our new show called The Big Three. This is more of a free-flowing show. We're going to be talking about all the biggest news stories going on in the automotive world, industry news, racing, NASCAR, F1, builds on YouTube. Anything that's major happening in the automotive space, we're going to be talking about it. A little less scripted than the other show, Past Gas. We're going to put the first couple of episodes in the Past Gas feed that you're seeing right now. And if you like The Big Three, go and follow The Big Three on its own page so you never miss an episode. Let us know what you think. Leave some reviews on The Big Three's podcast page and just tell us what you think of the show. Without further ado, here is our new show, The Big Three.
Last week, the three of us held a draft where we blindly picked two F1 drivers from a hat. Honestly, it didn't go as well as we hoped.
I don't follow NASCAR that much, but I follow when people break the rules.
Yeah. Mario Andretti, he's 84 years old right now.
Yeah.
Involving him in some way
before
since he was
a
F1 driver.
And then his successor, Wario Andretti, team lead.
This week, we are talking about Tesla's latest empty promise, all the crazy stuff that went down in the F1 offseason, and NASCAR's photo finish. But first, we're talking about a little man named Jeremy Clarkson.
I think he's pretty tall, actually.
He's tall. Big.
Welcome to the new show, everybody. This is The Big Three. It's a new show from your friends over here at Donut Media. This is a new show for us.
Yeah.
You know, you might have listened to Past Gas or Donut Racing Show back in the day. But
this is the very first episode, and James is unfortunately sick, so we got our pal Job over here.
Zach Job.
Hello.
Sit in for us. He was kind enough to do that.
Thank you.
That is Joe Weber. You might recognize him from Past Gas. My name is Nolan Sykes. I'm very excited for this new show. We're kind of flying a little blind here.
Yeah. We're going to go off your comments. So go on YouTube, watch the episode, tell us what you want.
Yeah, let us know how we're doing. Joe, you spent a lot of time designing this set, putting it together with your own bare hands. Great job.
Yeah, and then Nick.
Joe used a hammer and nails. It was awesome.
Yeah, I had to look up on YouTube how to use a hammer, but...
But it does look great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very legit.
And then our production team, mostly Nick and Deji, lit it amazing. It looks like
awesome.
It's super lit.
Job, your sister Riley painted the mural on the back.
Yeah, she forgot to paint me on there.
so true family affair.
Yeah. So welcome to the new show, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. There's so many cameras. I don't know which one to look at. Maybe we can get a gag where I'm looking at every camera.
Yeah, that gag's never been done before.
No. So, thank you. I'm just going to look at this one for now. But what do you say we talk about our first story this week, guys?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Jeremy Clarkson has hosted a boatload of car shows over the past 40 years, but is most widely known as the best and most problematic host Top Gear has ever had. I'm sure Richard and James would love to hear that.
I mean, I wrote that and be like, this is pretty biased for a news show, but it's true.
I mean,
yeah,
sure.
Tough to argue.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. So
he's the only one that punched any of his coworkers. So.
Yeah. <That's true. laughs>
Well, definitely the problematic part. Yeah. He recently announced.
The best part, I see.
Yeah. Yeah, the best part. Yeah. Okay. So he recently announced that the upcoming episode of the Grand Tour will be his last. I feel like this has been announced a few times.
Yeah.
But they keep. I feel like every other month there's a new announcement that's going to be the last one. Maybe they're trying to hype it up.
I think they're trying to get some more eyes on the last episode.
Sand job was really good, I thought. So I can't wait to see what they've got in store for this next final one. So this departure marks the end of an era riddled with controversy. As we all remember, Clarkson's run on Top Gear was cut short when, as Job mentioned, he punched a producer over a missed dinner.
I didn't know it was about food.
He ordered a steak at like midnight or something and the kitchen was closed.
What?
Yeah. So he punched the producer.
Dude, it's tough when you can't get a midnight steak.
It was a long shoot day. Yeah. Not to excuse his behavior, but he punched a guy. You know, he punched his producer that he'd been working with for a long time. Inexcusable. Yeah. But he did have a lot of great quotes over his entire career.
He's a legend, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Certainly an inspiration for certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably all of us, at least a little bit.
Everyone in this building.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think he's pretty important in the car world, But he does have an entire Wikipedia page dedicated to the offensive things that he said. So today we're going to be reading some of his worst quotes that we can actually read because some of them are too bad. We can't even read them on there.
What a way to start our brand new show.
Nice. Yeah, I know.
Let's get offensive, yeah. Boys.
But we're also going to be balancing them out with some cool inspirational things that he said. So who wants to be the Clarkson advocate and read the nice ones?
That seems like something Nolan would be good at.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay.
So we'll trade off reading the bad ones, okay, and cool. Then you interject with the good ones.
Okay.
He once commented that BMW sat navs only go to Poland. This is a reference to the Nazis invading Poland.
Yeah.
This is, of course, a reference kind of
highbrow
to
humor.
II, a thing that happened.
It's kind of funny, but also pretty offensive.
Pretty British.
Yeah, it's pretty British.
Yeah. But he also said that speed has never killed anyone. It's suddenly becoming stationary. That's what gets you.
Yeah, that's a famous one. Yeah. I've heard that a time or two.
Yeah.
I've seen that quoted on so many Instagram pages.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. So yeah. Many.
Like what?
That's like
name five.
All right. For the next offensive one, I don't understand bus lanes. Why do poor people have to get to places quicker than I do?
Yeesh. That's a bad one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, poor people got to get places too, yeah. Man.
I would say more, they'd have to get to places more than rich people do.
They're still trying to find out how to make money. So they gotta get to get to work.
They have to get money.
Yeah. Here's a nice one, I guess. Speed focuses the mind. It cuts through the fog of drab everyday living and keeps us on our toes. Speed works. Speed saves lives. Speed is good, and we should have more of it, not less.
Yeah.
Guy likes to go fast.
Yeah, he likes to go fast. I think we all like to go fast so we can relate to that.
Mm-hmm. This again seems like something that a guy who's in community college driving his GR86 would also post on his Instagram page.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
As he's going like,
shut
70.
Up, mom. Speed saves.
Yeah.
Okay, on truck drivers, this is a hard job. Change gear, change gear, change gear, check mirror, murder a prostitute, change gear. Change gear, murder. That's a lot of effort in one day.
I like that one.
Again, it's just like, it sounds maybe bad when I say it, but coming out of like a British person, it makes more sense, you know?
I guess.
They're very dry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's an okay one. It's what non-car people don't get. They see all cars as just a ton and a half, 2 tons of wire, glass, metal, and rubber. And that's all they see. People like you or I know we have an unshakable belief that cars are living entities. You can develop a relationship with a car. When something has foibles and won't handle properly, that gives it a particularly human quality because it makes mistakes. And that's how you build a relationship with a car that other people won't get. Again, guy, now he's maybe a freshman in college.
Yeah.
Buying his NB Miata.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Spoken like a true autophile.
Yeah, it's like a longer quote, so he spent time typing it in on his Instagram.
Well, yeah. Jeremy Clarkson actually very, very selective with his words when it comes to what he was saying, like, into the camera. You know, obviously, like, the improv stuff, they kind of would structure out what kind of the vibe was going to be, but improv that. But a lot of his stuff, hearing voiceover, him doing in Top Gear Grand Tour, he's very calculating with his words.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he was a journalist before, so he's definitely a writer. I appreciate that he can write stuff like this, but sometimes it's offensive.
I also appreciate that he can write stuff like this.
I mean, as a writer, you write too. No, totally. Like, you understand writing is hard.
Oh, man. I'm so rusty right now. It's really
bad. He's got a way with words. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Let's look at the next rough one. I started to realize that being impolite saves an awful lot of time and costs you nothing.
Well, it did cost him
his job.
A job, so it didn't cost nothing.
Although then it got him the Amazon thing, which who knows, that's maybe true. That's better.
And he probably had like more creative control over that as well.
And isn't Clarkson's farm on BBC still?
No, it's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
Yeah. What's that all about?
But well,
he has a farm, and I mean, it's just him going through the motions of trying to start and run a farm and sell things at a little like market. It's actually pretty good. It's worth a watch. And he's easier to like in that, you know, he's not, there's not as much, not as many
I would feel like he's quotes. Less cocky in it, where he's like
definitely because
digging
he's out
up
of his
turnips
element.
Or something. Yeah,
yeah. So you see him kind of stripped bare.
Oh, I do want to see him naked. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
yeah.
All right. If you're interested in learning more about Jeremy Clarkson, we actually have a whole episode of Past Gas dedicated to his life. Pretty interesting. I think he started out selling like teddy bears for his parents' company.
Whoa.
I don't know what episode number that is. Maybe we could put it on screen.
It's 150.
Well, the teleprompter's over there. I'm looking at this camera over here. It's episode 150. That was a while ago.
Yeah, we're at like that was almost 100 right episodes ago. Wow. 2 years ago, maybe?
While we're on the subject of polarizing public figures, let's talk about Elon Musk.
Elongated muskrat.
Yes. So last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. last Tuesday, he tweeted, quote, I'm going to read off this over here. Tonight, we radically increased the design goals for the new Tesla Roadster. There will never be another car like this. If you could even call it a car.
God, yes.
I bet he thought he was cooking.
Oh, he yeah.
He's like, I'm going to be so mysterious.
So.
That's what he always
he
thinks
from?
Well, I was trying to do a South African one and turn into a Valley girl.
Yeah. So
now he should have like an Austin accent, right?
Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Yeah,
he did wear he's been seen wearing cowboy hats.
God,
he's been seen doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he went to the border wearing a cowboy hat.
Oh yeah. Yeah, real cool.
Tasteful.
Yeah.
But the claims they're making on this car are crazy.
Yeah, so yeah. For a little context, the second generation Roadster concept debuted a long time ago now, guys, at the Tesla semi-truck reveal in 2017.
Jeez.
It's been that long.
7 years ago.
And was supposed to be available in 2020. Obviously, I think reality had some other plans.
Yeah.
So this car was an entirely new platform. They ditched the old Lotus platform that the first gen car was on. And the claims started to get pretty crazy pretty quickly. Elon said in 2018 that the Tesla Roadster will be able to exceed 250 miles per hour and have a 620 mile range.
That's
pretty crazy. But you know, you've seen Toyota make similar range claims with their new solid state battery technology that they're still working on. That yeah. will be out for another probably 8 years, I want to say. 6 to 8 years.
But what platform is that in? Because like a Lotus platform is tiny.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to get a 600 mile range out of batteries inside a Lotus, I think that's pretty unbelievable.
Just because you don't have enough room for enough batteries?
As I understand it, though, these solid state batteries are a lot smaller and a lot more efficient, so it could be feasible
in
something that size. He also claimed, though, that the new Roadster will have, quote, 10 small rocket thrusters arranged seamlessly around the car, and these rocket engines dramatically improve acceleration, top speed, braking, and cornering even, Job. Maybe they will even allow a Tesla to fly, he said.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, that is pretty cool.
It is cool.
Rocket thrusters on a car.
Yeah, especially on cornering, I think that would help a ton if you have like side thrusters.
Yeah, and can you imagine like being up in the canyons and pulling up behind a Tesla and seeing like offshoots of
I mean, you could see it, thrusters maybe, or even like how satellites and spacecraft have those compressed air thrusters to like rotate. I could see that working on a car. Dude, after we did the jet car build with Mr. Beast a couple years ago, I started thinking, like, what if we put those RC, like, we use these little RC jets. They're about this big.
They create, like, 70,
about a foot long.
70 pounds of thrust per.
Yeah, but if you put, like, two of them on each side of the car, and then while you're driving the course, Joby, maybe you're throwing down a lap time. Mm-hmm. I'm in that passenger seat next to you,
operating
modulating
thrusters,
the thrusters,
dude,
and, like, trying to rotate the car.
Thruster wingman.
We should do something like that. That'd be sick. Don't steal our idea.
Yeah. Well, I think Elon already did. But it is, I mean, it seems extremely complex and like, you know, hard to believe that that's actually going to come to production. But it's got, he's got like, so he's claiming what, about a second 0 to 60?
The only
way that's possible is with thrust.
So obviously nothing like this ever went into production as of now. And talk around the Roadster died until Tuesday of last week when he surprised the Teslarati, Tesla fans out there.
Yeah.
With another string of tweets, according to Elon, the Roadster will be able to, will be available for sale at the end of this year.
No way.
And shipping in 2025. I don't know.
I don't trust it.
7 years since they.
Yeah, and this seems to be like the Tesla thing. Like,
yeah, I've watched so many like supercuts of Elon promising something, and the timeline just keeps getting pushed.
Yeah.
Like I think. There's something he's been claiming for like 10 years, and it's, I think it's going to Mars or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently $50,000 will secure your reservation.
Wow.
The MSRP will be $200,000 to $250,000.
Interesting to see him go so hard the other direction with the reservation thing. Remember, you could get a Cybertruck on reserve for like $100.
Yeah, $100.
And like you said, Job, he did claim a sub 1 second 0 to 60 time.
Insane.
Yeah.
You got to have thrusters on there.
That's
for that.
The least believable thing I think he said.
1.74 seconds for the Rematz Navara.
Whoa, I didn't realize.
Yeah, and that's 1900 horsepower.
Yeah. Then the McMurtry Sperling, a little British hand-built car. It's not road legal, weighs like just over a ton.
Yeah.
Has a 0-60 of 1.4 seconds.
Yeah.
And the most British name ever. Yeah.
Then there's that car. Sperling. Yeah.
The AMZ Mython. I hope I pronounced that right.
Or Mython.
Mython makes more sense. This broke the record for the fastest accelerating car in the world at 0.95 seconds, and it weighed 309 pounds. So,
did you say this is a Formula SA car?
It looks like one.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's like super tiny, just like it's Tom electric. Scott sized.
Uh-huh.
Well, wasn't he? This was the one he wrote it.
I know. Yeah, yeah, he didn't build it.
If you
it was like
that
a
video, check that
research
out.
Team in Germany that built this, and if that thing weighs 309 pounds and gets barely sub 1 second 0-60 time, there's no way that the Roadster is going to do this.
Well, the thrusters, Joe, the thrusters.
Yeah, but
don't forget about the thrusters, Joe.
Okay, fine. I'm not going to forget about the thrusters.
I think the most unbelievable claim Elon made is that it's going to ship in 2024.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the car overall? Do you think this is
I think it looks
legit?
Sick.
To be honest, I haven't seen it. I've just heard things.
You've over the 15 years they've been.
I mean, I was assuming there was like a redesign with all the latest intel.
Yeah,
but it looks pretty good. If you're putting jet thrusters on a car, how is that road legal?
It probably isn't.
Yeah.
How does
or
that
actually,
pass?
Maybe there's just no current laws for.
Oh, that's true.
Road legal thrusters.
That's true.
The worst case scenario is like
loophole.
Everyone gets all these cars, and then they immediately pass legislation to be like, no
you
thrusters
can't have rockets
on your
cars.
Yeah. Which might happen.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah, I don't know anything about physics. So I don't know how well thrusters would work. I assume pretty well. I'm thinking about how on aircraft carriers they have the steam powered launch cannons for like fighter jets.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally different though, obviously.
Yeah,
but
it seems pretty far fetched.
Like I've
the whole
been,
thing.
Yeah, I've been to the drag strip with dragsters that have jet engines on the back.
Mm-hmm.
They like take them from F4 Phantoms.
Yep,
and then those things accelerate crazy fast.
Yeah,
so.
Right, so if you're adding that to an already quick car, I mean, in theory, it could work. It's just doesn't seem feasible, doesn't seem practical.
I think
if anything, they're going to be like this big.
Yeah, I think they're going to be tiny.
As much as I even love to shit on Tesla and Elon Musk, the Cybertruck, from all the testing and videos I've seen, pretty quick, handles pretty well, especially for like a huge truck.
Yeah,
I've seen a few Cybertrucks now around LA. They're monstrous. They're enormous.
Yeah.
So do I think it will be able to do everything that he's claiming here?
No,
but I do think at least in the 0-60 testing, it'll be insane and it'll handle pretty well.
I think it'll probably get like 1.17.
One seven.
Do you think it'll? Let's put our money on it right now.
Okay.
Do you think it'll come to market with thrusters on it?
No. It'll probably be like a thing where you buy the car and.
Well, that was something that was in one of his tweets. That's the SpaceX version.
Mm.
It's probably going to be an extra like $75,000 option or something.
Mm-hmm.
But SpaceX version apparently in their release in 2017, that was the version that had the thrusters on it.
Mm.
I see.
Think they'll send another one to space?
Oh, yeah.
Now that it's equipped?
Dude.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope they send more trash up into space.
And then we can do it again.
Yeah.
It has been 7 years. I do think it's coming. That's a long time to develop a car.
Yeah. And I think they probably got sidetracked by the Cybertruck.
Yeah, probably.
Because that probably took all their resources, so... It could be
not
cool.
I mean, it was a lot of straight lines. How much time does that take?
Yeah. How much time do straight lines take? I don't know.
Oh, I've never tried
it. Much.
I've never tried it.
It's time for news.
I think you got it. Yeah. That was good.
That was great.
All right, the 2024 F1 season is officially on with a underwhelming ass race.
Yeah. One of our old writers made a little Photoshop job on Instagram, said this race could have been an email.
Yeah, it was. At least the bagels you brought were good.
Oh, thanks. I really love those bagels.
But before we get into the Bahrain Grand Prix, let's talk about all the off-season news that happened.
Oh, my God.
Before
so much started. Stuff happened.
Lay it on me.
Crazy. Okay, so in January, two huge stories dropped involving American-owned teams. First, F1 announced that it had rejected a bid from Andretti Global to team up with Cadillac to join the F1 grid before 2026, stating concerns that the team wouldn't add value to the sport and would be uncompetitive and damage F1's reputation.
How are you going to say that with people like Haas and Williams on the grid?
I know.
Come on.
I'm so bummed about this.
I know. It was shaping up to be cool.
I got so excited when Cadillac teased the little like fin.
They did, however, leave the door open for Andretti and Cadillac to reapply in 2028. Keep in mind, new rules are coming in 2026.
Yeah.
So new designs of cars. Mm-hmm.
So it probably would have been a waste for them to like jump in at this point.
So anyway, yeah, when this story dropped, a lot of people said the same things you did about Haas and Alpine, Williams, whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, when you actually read the statement, they're kind of right, I think, in 2 years to develop a brand new car.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of time.
That's immediately going to be thrown away anyway if they're doing a new race.
Right, especially if they started next year in 2025. Absolutely. That'd be a waste of time for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2026 even, two years to develop a car, not a lot of time. It's harsh, maybe the way they worded it. But also like the fact that they're worried about F1's reputation. It's like, dude, you guys got other things to worry about besides Andretti. Like, please.
Yeah.
So I can see where they're coming from. Obviously would have loved to see Andretti sooner.
Yeah.
Also, Mario Andretti, he's 84 years old right now.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So in 2028, he'll be 88.
He looks good for
him. He does.
84.
He looks great. Yeah. But he'll be 88. I feel like involving him in some way, before since he was a F1 driver, like having him be part of that hype package when 28 comes around, like, that's, you know, he'll be 88 at that time.
And then his successor, Wario Andretti, will be team lead. They're probably worried about Wario Andretti, to be honest.
Yeah,
for sure.
Shake things up.
But Cadillac did place really well last year at Le Mans. They took third and fourth in the hypercar division, which is insane. Their car sounds amazing. You've probably seen clips of it starting up out of the pits.
I love it. In other news, early this month, Haas made a surprise announcement that team principal Günther Steiner would be departing after 10 years with the team.
Bummer.
The Athletic reported that, quote, behind the scenes, a split in opinion on the direction of the team led Steiner and team owner Gene Haas to mutually agree against a contract renewal.
I wonder what their opinions were.
Yeah. Gene, I think you're a fucking idiot.
Steiner was F1's third longest serving team principal after Toto Wolff and Red Bull's Christian Horner.
It is a bummer because Steiner like made this team. Like he came to Gene Haas, who was doing NASCAR at the time, or IndyCar or something. Anyways, he had a different racing NASCAR thing going on, and he basically put this whole team together. This is Günther's team.
10 years is a good run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. For a team lead, for sure.
Would have been nice to see a little more success for him, but
doesn't feel,
you know, like the best parting of ways necessarily.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll still be on Drive to Survive, though, because he's too valuable.
Yeah, too good.
As a talking head.
They'll probably have him as just like a commentator for next season.
Yeah.
Like
Danica Patrick.
Oh, I actually heard that he's in talks to be a commentator for F1 TV, I think, or Sky Sports.
Dang.
Yeah, so we'll see. It's not the last we've seen of old Günther Steiner.
It's funny. Günther. It's funny in Drive to Survive, they show his like book release.
Mm-hmm.
And his book's name, the title of his book is called Survive to Drive. But he's got like all these young girls that love him. It's so funny.
Speaking of team principals, on February 5th, it was reported that Red Bull team principal Christian Horner was under investigation into allegations of inappropriate behavior involving a female staff member. Horner denied the allegations, and last week Red Bull announced that he had been cleared of any wrongdoing.
Oh, great. So we can stop talking right now.
It's fine,
about
right?
This. Then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All clear?
Yeah.
Good.
Not. The saga seems to be far from over. A dossier containing 79 texts related to the allegations was leaked to F1 and FIA personnel and journalists. It was a big old Google Drive.
Yeah.
You could probably find it online if you wanted to. Most recently, Jos Verstappen, Max Verstappen's dad, three-time champ Max Verstappen's dad, and Red Bull lead driver, stated that there is instability within the team, and if Horner were allowed to continue to lead said team, Red Bull would, quote, explode.
Whoa.
Jos is also claiming he won't attend future races. Oh, wouldn't that be a bummer?
Yeah. Jeez.
Big statement, though.
We love it.
I didn't realize it was like that.
Oh, man. There's like, do we have time to talk about
everything? Yes, we do have time.
So there's a lot of rumors. Okay. This is all kind of unsubstantiated stuff that I'm about to tell you. So I was on Reddit, a place.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
With plenty of rigorous kind of, background research. Yeah. apparently, though, for years now, Jos Verstappen has not been a fan of Christian Horner.
No.
So last year, Dieter Mateschitz, like one of the founders of at least like Austrian Red Bull, he passed away. And after that happened, Christian Horner apparently, allegedly, made a move to kind of take over the entire motorsports program, F1 program, not just be team principal, but like run the whole thing.
Yeah, director.
And he apparently had some alliances, made some agreements with the Thai owners of Red Bull, where the company really originally
started. Where the real formula came from.
Yeah, where the formula came from. He had allegedly backing from them to do that. But Jos Verstappen he teamed up with Helmut Marko. Helmut is the guy who, like, he leads the young driver development program. Mm. He, like, found.
He's a big dude.
Max Verstappen, Sebastian Vettel. He's a huge reason why the team is so successful.
Next to, like, Adrian Newey, he's probably the most important person.
That's true. So it seems to me that Jos Verstappen, using the news of the allegations, maybe made a ploy to oust.
Yeah, he saw his moment.
Saw the moment.
It's real Game of Thrones stuff.
It really is. At this, I mean, it's like $1 billion team in the biggest motorsport in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
they're on top.
It's ruthless.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but also,
again, all that allegedly, unsubstantiated, just based on stuff I've saw on the Formula One subreddit. So take that with a big grain of salt.
But I mean, the evidence is kind of piling up to show, like,
someone is trying to oust Christian very badly.
Yeah. But I mean, Christian, his texts were a little nefarious.
Those. Yeah.
I went through all of them during the race on Saturday. There's a nipple pic. There's a lot of like really
his.
Yes, his nipple.
He does not. Okay. It
you never sent someone your nipple?
No.
Yeah, we're not talking like a chest pick. Like, hey, look, just I've been doing some push-ups and I can bench 205 now. No, it's like just half the chest.
Yeah.
One nipple.
Hairless nipple. No body hair on that man.
Zero.
Maybe
body
that
hair
was the point of the picture. Maybe he just got waxed.
Maybe.
But also like some of the poorest game I've ever seen.
Okay.
He's been married to
Ginger Spice now for like 15, 20 years, right? Yeah. He's out of practice.
Is he still married?
He's still married. And she was actually at the race this weekend. But yeah, I think over the last few years, especially with Drive to Survive getting so popular, Christian's kind of become a main character of that show.
Yeah.
And gives off major Bond villain energy.
Oh, absolutely.
A little bit.
He likes to think of himself, I think, or present himself as like a very smooth, debonair villain. Yeah. Or at least mastermind. Yeah, but when you read these texts, you are like, oh, you are a dork.
Yeah. Super dork vibes. And kind of just like.
Just really lame.
Really lame.
Some middle school type text.
It really is. Yeah.
It's like when you first. Yeah.
Do you like me?
Hey.
Circle yes or no? But also they're like, at first I was like, because he was cleared. And then the text came out, and it was like, oh, did someone like make these? Did someone Photoshop these? But they're so boring that I believe they're real.
Oh, they're
so bad.
Yeah, it hasn't been like
truly authenticated to say that they're real yet.
But the leak came from the Netherlands. So
from Jos,
that's where Jos lives. Yeah. But yeah, there's a lot of like crazy theories out there, but I think there's going to be a lot of like turmoil on the Red Bull team this
year. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I didn't know any of that.
Well, it didn't really hold Max back because he won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Won the race in commanding fashion.
Also, Jos came out with a tweet kind of like condemning this kind of behavior, but he's also a huge abuser. He abused his wife and his subsequent girlfriend after that.
And not to mention Max as well. Like, there's the stories about how Jos like left him at a gas station because Max didn't win or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Like, not good.
So yeah, kind of the
pot, not exactly a protagonist in this story. Not someone you want to root for. So, yeah. I mean, neither of the guys.
Interesting.
All right. So, in conclusion of the Christian Horner news, in the last few days, FIA president Mohammed Ben Sulayem asked Max to publicly come out in support of Christian Horner. Red Bull has apparently held talks in attempt to calm the infighting on the team. And also, and finally, allegedly, Ford is looking for ways out of its contract with Red Bull that is set to begin in 2026. Again, that's allegedly.
Yeah.
So we'll keep you guys up to date on this developing story. Again, though, it's like Max is clearly in a league of his own right now. The car is insane. He won by like 38 seconds or something like that.
Yeah. There was a video of like, this is the real time gap between Max and Checo. And I just didn't watch the whole video because I was like, this is going to go on forever. I don't care. I know what 30 seconds feels like.
And finally, in F1 news, you probably heard this, but in a surprising move, Lewis Hamilton will be hunting his 8th World Driver Championship title wearing Ferrari red beginning in 2025. I can't wait for this.
Yeah. I'm so excited for this. Lewis is one of my favorites.
Lewis stated that his decision was based on more of a gut feeling than anything else. And you know what? Gut feelings can be right on the money sometimes.
Yeah. I get a lot of gut feelings when I eat pasta.
Yeah.
Pasta?
Yeah, because of Ferrari.
Oh.
You know?
What?
Yeah.
He probably went to Italy, ate some really good pasta, and was like, I can't go back to British food after this.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, he probably had farts too.
I thought that was the gut feeling you're talking
about.
That's
what I was alluding to.
So this is obviously a huge decision, and especially given his storied success with Mercedes and the recent struggles of the Ferrari team. I mean, they didn't even do that hot this weekend either.
Yeah. Right?
So speaking of Lewis going to Ferrari, last week, the three of us held a draft where we blindly picked two F1 drivers from a hat. We did this to get to know other drivers on the grid instead of just rooting for our favorites, which we usually do. And honestly, it didn't go as well as we hoped.
Yeah.
Let's cut to that footage.
We're going to be covering a number of up-to-date stories on this show. One of those stories currently has to be F1.
Has to be
F1.
An exciting racing series in the world.
You know your boys got to talk about it.
Yeah.
So we thought it would be fun.
Who's going to win this?
It would be completely irresponsible to not cover it.
So we thought it would be fun if all of us were rooting for a driver. And to do that, we thought we'd leave it up to chance and all draw a name out of a hat.
Oh, man.
Whichever name we draw is who we are going to be rooting for all season. We got to become diehard fans.
You have to follow the driver on Instagram. You got to follow their like personal trainers, their team managers.
I'm probably going to buy a hat
engineers.
Too.
Oh, you got to
find
gotta get
like
their merch.
Oh, you got to get the merch.
We all have favorites.
Yeah,
obviously. Yeah.
Naturally, we would have gone with those favorites and you would have just heard our favorites.
Yeah. Which would most likely just be the most successful people in the sport right now. So
like, oh, hey, what's up with Lewis this week?
Yeah.
But we thought unlike the FIA, we want to give everyone a fair shot.
Yeah.
Unlike Netflix, we want to give everyone coverage.
Yeah.
So we thought that we would just randomly each pick a character from the hat.
This is kind of fun.
And we got to become super fans. And we'll report on our guy after every race.
Let's see. Okay. I'm going to pick this guy.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Put that other name back in my hat.
Who is it?
Oh,
Sergio
Perez.
Wow.
Oh. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So, how about that merch?
Okay.
Yeah.
How about that merch, buddy?
That's a lot of Red Bull merch to buy.
Yeah.
But Hopefully some of it has like a Mexican flag on it. That'd be kind of sick.
I cool. like Checo.
I honestly did. It didn't even cross the possibility of this happening. Did not even cross my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm into it though. Sergio Perez.
Mexico is pretty good.
James's turn. Next.
All right.
Oh,
I you mean. Got Lewis.
Oh, come on.
This, yeah, man, but I have really the, I get the coolest merch.
Yeah.
I get the most stories.
I was going to talk to Christina, actually. I forgot to do this. I was going to say, take Lewis and Max out.
Yeah.
I knew, I knew this was going to happen.
That's so funny.
I mean, I am kind of the Lewis Hamilton of donut.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Please get like a Jogo on you.
I'm going to not only...
I saw what you almost picked, and I was going to...
Lando.
Lando. Oh,
this is the most
dude.
Uninteresting nice. Like,
oh my God.
Spectrum of drivers ever.
Dude.
We have to redo this.
We do need to cover Lando, though. This is a good representation.
Red Bull, Mercedes, and McLaren?
As far... Yeah.
Well, we're trying to like break out of the mainstream coverage of this story. Let's do it again.
Okay, same order?
Same order. Yeah. Let's do it again. I'm closing my eyes.
There's one that was like totally unfolded.
Oh. I can't see anyway. Okay. Let's see here. Now watch me pick Nico Hülkenberg. Okay, here's my guy. Who is it? It's Oscar Piastri. Okay.
Zero midfield still.
Still. Yeah, I mean, we're going to see this dude light up this year for sure.
Oscar, too.
That car, Lando didn't seem too happy about that car, so we'll see.
What if
Lando... Signs.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is
crazy. Family.
This is just like F1.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? What'd you get?
Alex Albon.
Okay. Yeah.
You got two Brits.
All right. Yeah. So we both have a one driver and a two driver.
Let's go around the table here.
You got to name your team.
Yeah.
Okay. Name the team. Well, now I have to think.
Yeah. What's your title sponsor?
Who's your title sponsor?
And what engine are you using?
I don't know.
Say title sponsor. What's your favorite company?
Sykes Racing, brought to you by the Taco Bell Sykes Racing entry. Nice.
Taco Bell Sykes.
Is Sergio Perez and Oscar Piastri.
All right, my team is principal driver is Carlos Sainz, and a close second is Lando Norris. And this is the NVIDIA GeForce RTX 3080 team.
Okay.
Because they're both gamers.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like NVIDIA is their title sponsor.
Love it. Okay.
This is the Ghost Protein Pumphrey Racing team of Lewis Hamilton and Alex Albon.
Very good.
Can I switch my title sponsor to
Ghost
Weber
Protein
Grills?
Fake yogurt.
Yeah, Weber Grills. Weber Grills. Okay.
Weber Grills Racing. Yeah, Ghost Protein Fake yogurt.
All right, so we'll have to follow our drivers on social media, follow their team principals, follow their best friends. I did request one of Oscar Piastri's friends. I think that was in the clip, but... Yeah, I had to request some British guy. I don't know if he got me back.
Nice, dude.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize. I clicked on you and then clicked request and then didn't realize. I'm not being a creep is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't wait to see how this goes. How do you feel about your picks, Joe?
I got signs.
After this weekend. How do you feel about your picks after this first race?
I'm excited because my guys came in sixth and third this week. So I'm in the points.
Checo got second.
Checo got second.
Oh, yeah. And Piastri got eighth. So
Shoot.
We might be even, maybe.
Yeah.
Actually. I think the jump between second and third probably makes up for.
Yeah.
Because 8 and 10.
18 points to.
I think we might actually be even. Well, there's no way we'll ever find out.
Yeah. They banned calculators at Donut. But I'm pretty excited. Job, since you are not in the draft or anything, which drivers would you like to get to know this season?
It's a good question. I'd like to pay a little more attention to Alonso. I've long been an Alonso fan, but I haven't paid that much attention, so I'd like to root for him a little more. Oh, Yuki maybe is my second answer.
Alonso and Yuki. Wow. Alonso is ninth, Yuki is 14th. I think that's a fun midfield to root for.
It's pretty good. Yeah. We'll see what Alonso can pull out this season. Last
Hoping
year, he had some pretty crazy results.
So hopefully they can build on that. And I'd love to see him, do well, get some more podiums.
He's also hanging out with all the young kids now, too.
Yeah, well.
He hangs out with Lando.
Yeah.
Pops up in my feed under Lando's Instagram page, which I was forced to follow. It's not that fun.
You got to follow his film photography page as well.
Oh, he takes pictures?
Yeah. Lando.jpg.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So you got to do that.
Yeah. I think the best part of the race was not the best part.
I mean,
but the most tense part was when Yuki had to give his place up to Daniel for seemingly no reason other than Daniel was on fresh, soft tires. Mm-hmm. And he had a better chance of
getting the points,
getting to Magnussen, getting some points. But it came at a horrible time because Max was lapping them at that point. Mm. And as backmarkers, they had to give way for him. Mm-hmm. So in that little short time, like Kevin Magnussen was able to make up a ton of time.
Oh,
yeah.
And they were, it was late enough in the race that they weren't getting to the points anyway, right?
No, I don't think so. It was like four laps left, maybe. Yeah,
so.
But then Yuki dive bombed Daniel in the cool down lap and then like kind of played chicken with him at some point.
It's a little immature.
Yeah, I watched that a few times. I was trying to make sure that it seemed like an intentional kind of dick move. It was
100% intentional. Yeah.
Kind of crazy.
But then Daniel called him a helmet in the interview, which is funny.
Called him a helmet?
Called him a helmet. Kind of like what I'm assuming is like a bell end.
You know?
Yeah. So anyways, I can't wait till the next week's race.
You can't wait? Oh, man. I think if the rest of the season is like this, like, honestly,
you have to make yourself excited about it.
You gotta pretend.
I've been making myself excited for it, man. Like, I think F1 has a pretty big problem right now. We got 2 years, two more seasons until the new rules take effect. Yeah. I mean, it's, I wouldn't say unlikely, but pretty freaking unlikely that anyone catches Red Bull at this point. I don't know, man.
Unless they implode. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the trouble at the top.
I think all the teams are kind of waiting for the shoe to drop on that situation and see how that affects it. Even then, though, I think Max is such a I think he can just go into race man mode so easily that he won't let it affect him. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Interesting to see.
It should be like Formula 1 and Formula 1.5 with the rest of the grid.
I mean, it's kind of what it is already.
Speaking of NASCAR, did you guys see the penalty incurred this weekend for some guy wearing...
For Joey Logano's...
Yeah, Joey Logano's gloves. Wearing webbed gloves. I don't follow NASCAR that much, but I follow when people break the rules.
Yeah.
And so Joey Logano wearing webbed gloves.
Yeah. He's covering part of the A pillar or something.
Yeah, so I guess, you know, a lot of times you'll see NASCAR drivers with their hand up to the window, and they say that's to help deflect air and almost act like a closed window. Yeah,
that makes sense.
And so the webbing in there lets you act more like a window, like a bigger window. Not approved, not FIA certified, and totally illegal, and looks kind of ridiculous.
Pretty cool. Classic like NASCAR cheating.
Right yeah, there. Totally. For such a tiny fraction of potentially maybe an advantage.
Well, dude, I mean, that makes all the difference when it comes to qualifying because, you know, you don't have the draft or anything like that. Or if you know, in the draft, it helps that much more.
Yeah.
You know, especially during qualifying, though, all those guys running out there by themselves, it's, you know, tenths, hundredths of a second makes the difference.
It could totally make a difference.
Speaking of hundredths of the second, so they said that he won by 3/1000ths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, this might be a dumb question, but are they measuring that with, like, it's not just the photo, right?
Mm, okay, no, good. There's probably transponders.
Good. Because I saw the photo finish and I was like, what camera did you take this?
It's like blurry. Yeah. You don't really know.
It's surprising that that's still the quality of the photo finish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Use 4K.
I know. They got to, like, you know, with five laps left to go, it's like, how about you turn that freaking shutter speed up? Yeah.
Get rid of the Nintendo DS that you're taking pictures of.
That's been the first episode of the Big Three. Guys, good job.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're high-fiving here. Whoa, nice.
We did it.
That felt cool. This show will be on the Past Gas feed for a couple more episodes, but then make sure you follow the Big Three page on its own. It's going to be in its own feed.
Yeah.
Make sure you support the show there, or just hit that subscribe button on Donut Podcast if you're watching this on YouTube.
Yeah.
And let us know how we're doing in the comments. Leave a review on the Big Three podcast page or down in the comments below. It really helps us out. This has been fun.
Yeah,
this has been fun. Let us know what you want to see. If you want to see different updates of racing nipple, that we don't really
want to see, that
what kind of news do you need? And I would love to see your nipple, Nolan.
Huh?
Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna stop and show each other our nipples right now.
All right. That's been it. Bye.
Bye. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.